Hello there, I'm Áine Lawler. This is Your Politics, RTE's weekly take on what's going on in Leinster House with our team here. And this week they are Joe McGraelich, Sandra Hurley and Fiacra O'Kioni. Sandra, to quote Matty McGraw, we're beginning to see the rabbit at last coming out to be shown to the dog. Talk to me about how the Dáil schedule sets up the calling of an election next week.
Yes, so TDs have been eagerly awaiting the sight of the Dáil schedule for next week, because what they really wanted to see was the finance bill. How quickly would that be pushed through the Dáil? And it does seem like it's going to be done very quickly. So all remaining stages of the bill will be taken in the Dáil on Tuesday in a 4-hour debate. That will mean the finance bill is out of the way. But if you also look at the schedule, there are several other bills that they're going to get through all through Tuesday and Wednesday that have to be done. The appropriations bill, there's the family courts bill, there's a health bill, there's another companies bill, and they're also going to pass the supplementary estimates. Votes will be taken late on Wednesday evening. At the moment, those are scheduled for around 9 p.m. But if you look at Thursday's schedule, it's pretty light for business. And that has led most TDs to conclude that that will be the day that Taoiseach Simon Harris chooses to call an election, the day when he goes to Áras an Uachtaráin and he asks the President to dissolve the Dáil.
Before I talk about the date, just in terms of the legislation, there might be a bit of a row next week about the Occupied Territories Bill and whether that's one of the ones that gets passed before this Dáil rises. Is that right, Fiacra?
Yeah, exactly. So the Occupied Territories Bill obviously has been on the agenda politically in Ireland for a number of months. Yesterday, the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach were both basically saying, look, you know, we nearly have this bill passed, but there's still about 12 areas we still need to look at. And we're happy to discuss those issues with in background briefings with opposition parties next week. But, you know, it's probably going to be a matter for the next Dáil, which is rather convenient for government that they can say, we've tried to get it over the line. You're going to have to vote for us again to get it definitely over the line. Now, what Sinn Féin have done the past couple of hours and what the Social Democrats also said earlier today is that they said, look, we'd like to be really helpful to government. We have, Dáil motion time and Dáil speaking time next week on next Wednesday, and just so happens next Thursday when the election might just be about to be called. And they've both said in the past couple of hours that they're happy to give government that time to get that bill over the line. Now, realistically, this is a little bit of political games and political theatre. I don't really believe that the bill will get over the line. I don't think the parties believe it will. But certainly it puts the ball back in government's court to say, look, if you're saying you really want to get this bill over the line, you can.
And will be one of the issues probably we'll hear about on the campaign trail, Joe, which is very much, even though the Dáil and the election hasn't formally been called, TDs out in their constituencies wearing out the shoe leather.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And it looks like it is Thursday that it's going to be declared on Thursday. And I think Sandra was the first in our office, maybe the first to start tweeting about that. The schedule, which she got for next week. The reason Thursday is looking really like the day, because also through some other detective work, when you put all the pieces together, you find out that there's an informal council of European leaders, of European PMs in Budapest on Friday. So the speculation about the Friday, that maybe he might call it on Friday, that's kind of disappeared now. And it really does look like Thursday. And as Sandra said, the latter part of the day cleared and making it very likely, I think, that the opportunity is there. And it's the way that Simon Harris, he's been saying all along he would do this in a sort of a responsible manner, with respect for the House, with respect for his fellow coalition leaders. So it does look like it's Thursday. And to go back to your question, wearing out the shoe leather, they definitely are. And the posters are all been printed. If you look at the local papers in many areas now, they're just covered in ads from
there's more from public meetings going on about this,
and
that, the
senators,
yes,
and
yes,
candidates, yeah.
Because of campaign expenses, if you put up paying election material before the actual campaign is called.
So. Yes, so and come Thursday, if it's Thursday, by shortly after that announcement is made, I've already spoken to TDs. They said, ready to go. Posters are going straight up. They'll be literally putting them up as he's finishing his
seat.
Exactly.
And there is competition for the best spaces, the best parts of lampposts. TDs have told me that they need to know when it's going to be called, because they will be straight out there with their teams marking out their territory.
Mm. Yes, it's going to be interesting. And Simon Harris, of course, saying he won't dilly-dally. The date, very much his prerogative. Micheál Martin, Fiacra, saying, well, it's the 29th or another.
Yes, that's exactly what Micheál Martin said to myself and a couple of other colleagues as he was arriving at government buildings for the weekly cabinet meeting yesterday morning. He was actually in a suspiciously good mood as he came in, and we were asking him about the question that he normally gets a little bit grumpy about, a bit irritated about when's the election going to be. He made it very clear to look, he expects the finance bill to pass, as Sandra has been pointing out at the schedule. And I asked him, look, you know, there's a lot of speculation around November 29th. And you're saying, yeah, I would expect that that's one of two possible dates, is the exact phrase he used. So I asked him, well, look, is November 29th is one. What's the other one? It could be a week either side, either November 22nd or December 6th. And he quite artfully dodged the question. He said, yeah, one of those, the one that you were going to answer, the one you were going to say, and then jumped into the next question. He was more than happy to take the next question about something completely different.
So. They've all been asked about it, though, at every single press conference and public occasion that they've appeared on since September, when the Dáil returned. Every single day they've been answering the same question. So finally, clarity. I mean, they could have clarified before, obviously, but we will have always asked the question until you get the answer. So the answer now is about to come. But we've made it clear.
And it's been a bit, the all those remarks from the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, it's been a little bit spicy, hasn't it, Sandra? Because you're watching government partners shaping up now to be election rivals.
Exactly. And the difficulty for them is that they are running on the same record. They have this collective cabinet responsibility. They've signed off on the same measures. So how do they go to the people now and say that they are separate entities? And I don't think it's a major problem for the Green Party. They have very clear standalone policies, very clear measures they've got through government on public transport and, of course, on climate action. But for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, it is more difficult. They are also rivals at local level in constituencies, but they will be relying on each other for transfers. So we are seeing them attack each other's portfolios. Micheál Martin mentioning last weekend, talking about a lot of things to do with justice and how there needed to be transport police and how the whole area of justice needed to be beefed up. A very clear attack there on Fine Gael and Helen McEntee. And you can expect Fine Gael to go after housing and health as well. So they are going to try and splinter apart. Whether the electorate goes for this or not, I'm not totally sure, because the problem for Fine Gael is they've been in government since 2011. So how do you now promise new measures when you could have done them during that time?
And of course, Joe, the problem for Sinn Féin has been all those controversies in recent weeks. This week, they were very much trying to pivot back to policy, weren't they? You were at their health launch. A big document.
Yeah, a big document. Yeah, I think there's 350 proposals in it. I mean, a huge amount of work went into it. Very definitely trying to pivot back onto the platform, onto the policies that they have. I mean, it's health this week. They have a climate policy next week. But the housing policy they launched a number of weeks ago, childcare proposals as well, they were just drowned out by all of the controversies that Sinn Féin have had to deal with. They have dealt with those. I mean, there's been clarifications. There's been you know, explanations of the handling.
And Mary Lou MacDonald took a lot of questions, didn't she, at that health press conference?
She did. Yes, she did. Yes. So, I mean, while as I put it, it's, you know, they hope that it's receding in the rearview mirror. Not quite gone yet, but they are moving on now. And as once the election is called, it'll get far more policy based and far more focused on records of people in government and records of you know, proposals from the opposition as well.
We've also heard Brian Stanley confirming that he will be running as an independent, so he'll be up against his former party.
And his former party, Mary Lou MacDonald was confirming in the past hour, his former party has just opened nominations for the newly available Sinn Féin candidacy in that constituency. That decision is likely to be made by who's going to be on that ticket on Monday. Now, Mary Lou MacDonald was asked in the past hour, you know, who do you think it would be? Partly for a genuine reason, partly out of cynicism, because Brian Stanley has been the main player for Sinn Féin in Laois for so long. Mary Lou MacDonald possibly dodged the question, said, I couldn't possibly name all of these possible people who might be running. It wouldn't be right. So in other words, we don't know at the moment who may be running.
Yes, that's going to be an interesting one to watch. And speaking of constituencies, Joe, you've been working hard on our constituency maps.
Yes, indeed.
It's a labour of love.
everybody around this table has been working hard on it. We have a constituency map that we're going to be publishing in the next day or two. It'll have a profile of every constituency on it with the lists of candidates and all the rest of it. So it should be a good tool for people to be just, you know, go onto the map, select your constituency, and you'll be able to see straight away the lie of the land there, who's in the running, how it might turn out, yeah. all of that. A labour of love, definitely. It's been worked on for the last number of weeks now by a lot of people, and it's coming together. We'll soon have it out there. It's going to be a vital tool, I think, during yeah. the election.
The other thing we've seen from the parties so far, I mean, in one way, this is a very odd election because it's the first election I can think of where there's just so much money. Now, there may not be down the road, but right now, there's so much money that a party can promise anything they want. The question, I suppose, is who persuades the public they've got the best plan for spending that money?
Yes, unlike some of the elections we would have seen over the past decade, this time there's loads of money to spend. We haven't even got the $14 billion from Apple yet. So it's very easy for parties to come forward and announce exactly what they're going to spend it on. But what we've also seen in recent years is that money alone cannot fix problems. If they could have fixed health and housing by just throwing money at it, then those problems would be fixed, and they're not. So I think it does go back to the fact that the government is going to have to defend its record. It's been in power. It hasn't fixed everything. What can it possibly bring that's new? That so the opposition will be saying that they have the solutions and that they can persuade people.
We're already seeing a big pitch, aren't we, between them all on the issue of childcare. A lot of them coming forward with very flashy promises there. As you were saying, Joe, there was the big healthcare promises from Sinn Féin this week, and we haven't seen a lot of the other manifestos.
Yeah, I mean, like it is getting to the point now where, you know, thankfully in Irish politics and in Irish elections compared to, say, like the US or other places, that it is very much focused at times on policy. So as I said, we had Simon Harris at the start of this week talking about reducing childcare costs. We had a 2-hour press conference, I think it was, with Sinn Féin on health and a number of other topics. We obviously had Labour last Friday talking about how this needs to be an education election. So we're already seeing parties kind of point out where they are looking to go, where they're looking to focus things. The only problem for individual parties is it's very difficult to control the narrative when you get into an election campaign. Something can come in just from left field and just take over.
Actually, just one thing before we talk about the US election. AI and the use of AI. Michael Healy-Ray and his Taylor Swift or not endorsement has been raising a few eyebrows, hasn't it?
It certainly has, yeah. He's had a couple of good AI videos out there, and they are very eye-catching, that's for sure. And it certainly gets his name up there. And it
we're talking about
a new younger
right
generation
now,
as well. A new younger generation that are sort of getting in touch with it. I suspect AI has probably been used in a lot more than just videos like that. It's probably been used to, you know, write not manifestos, but to write, you know, a bit of blurb on candidates, that kind of stuff. The AI is now become a real part of our society, yeah. and it's available and it's easily available. And I mean, I'm sure you've all experimented with it. It can produce very convincing material in a very short period of time.
Not everyone happy, though, Fionn.
Yeah, not everybody happy about it as well, because, you know, it is the fun side of it, I guess, on the Michael Healy-Ray stuff, although I don't know if Taylor Swift will find it too fun if she ever sees it. But, you know, there's a negative side as well of this information online and on social media, where if AI is done a bit more carefully, maybe than a tongue-in-cheek one from Michael Healy-Ray, maybe for some people it might trick some people into thinking, well, did the candidate say X or did a candidate say Y or a political leader say X or Y? And that could become a bit of an issue in terms of disinformation.
And it's funny when you look at the states, and of course the election that we do know is going to happen next Tuesday in the states, it's getting... I mean, what's your read? Nobody really can read it at this stage, can they? It's too close. They simply don't know what's going to happen.
No, they don't. And we know it's down to 7 swing states. I think a lot of it is down to the economy and what people feel about the economy. And one of the odd things is that the American economy is doing reasonably well. But what's been hurting people is the rise in the cost of living. Inflation, the rate of inflation is falling, but in some areas, people aren't feeling that in their pockets. They still feel that things are too expensive, even though their buying power is actually quite good and employment is at a really decent level. Now, there are job figures out tomorrow. I think those are going to be bad. So this is bad for Kamala Harris because, of course, she has been part of the administration. So her stewardship of the economy is on the ballot paper, really. Abortion rights, I think, is also a huge part of it because the Supreme Court change. It's going to also literally be on the ballot paper in some states. That should play well for Kamala Harris. So there's sort of pros and cons as to how the election is being framed. Ultimately, does it just come down to a referendum on Trump what do you think of Donald Trump and whether he should be back?
That certainly seems to be the message coming from Kamala Harris, doesn't it? The compare and contrast between them in the closing days of the campaign.
Yeah, it strikes me that Kamala Harris is pitching to the undecideds or those middle voters. Trump is pitching to his voters, and that's the way he's continuing. And he's, you know, he thinks that he has enough there that'll get him over the line.
Oh, his base. It's margin of error stuff. Watching, you know, right wing media in the States, Stoney had a great report about this on CNN. And, you know, a lot of people aren't, this is the election where a lot of people are not following the mainstream news channels. They've, you know, gone off to other sources of information, and they believe he's way ahead in the polls. And if the result doesn't show that, guess what we're going to hear all over again?
Yeah, that's the danger. You see, it's one thing to, you know, have the count, have the election, have the result. It's another thing then that people will accept the result and that Americans will come together again and then, you know, continue on over the next the period of the next presidency. So that is the danger. As I said, it is margin of error stuff. It could well be that one wins the electoral college and the other will win the actual national vote. So, really, it's so hard to tell.
Yeah, that's the way it went with Hillary Clinton, of course. The question, I suppose, Fiacre, is, you know, even if Harris wins, will Trump accept it? I mean, it's pretty likely, isn't it? At some stage next Tuesday night, he's going to come out no matter what. No matter what the networks, who'll be extremely nervous about calling it, no matter what they say.
Yeah, and no matter what said, I'm sure, unless he wins by a landslide, even if he only wins by a small amount, he'll probably say that it was still rigged a little bit. Like he's already saying versions of this on social media. And that is the big issue, really, for the States, that really, like, leaving aside any particular view on it, the only way really that you have a clear-cut result is if either candidate wins by a huge margin. And that's probably not going to happen, certainly enough for everyone in the States. So it may be so close that regardless of the legitimacy of a vote, and it will be legitimate, that if Donald Trump loses, he doesn't accept it, his supporters don't accept it, and we've had quite dramatic scenes last time.
We've seen that movie before, I think, somewhere, haven't we?
So the question is, who of sitting around this table is going to sit up all night and watch the count? That's the question. And I can tell you, actually,
I will. I can guarantee you, I couldn't sleep.
Well,
I,
RTE coverage begins at 11:20. It goes on till half three in the morning. Yeah, well, no, but this is what's saying.
And then
so
morning
we're going
Ireland's
on until
early,
half three in the morning on television. Then they're switching to the US networks. And then Morning Ireland, of course, is going to be on the morning as well. So there'll be coverage there, but will you sit up all night? I think I'll be sitting up for a good part of the night anyway, just to see how it goes, you know. Certainly until the networks begin to call it.
And in 2016, it was beginning to become clear, I think, around midnight or 1 o'clock when Florida went for Trump. So the clues could be there earlier on, depending on when the swing states start to come in and when networks start to call those individual states.
And that's going to be the other thing to watch for on the night, who actually has the gumption to come out and call it first. It was Fox the last time.
Yes, and we heard what happened afterwards in terms of phone calls directly to the network. So there's huge amounts at stake for them as well.
Okay, huge amounts at stake. Lots of popcorn. We'll be talking to you again next week. And we might even know whether there's going to be an election. We might even know the date. Talk to you then. Bye.